more pieces of the Space Shuttle Columbia are being discovered. One of the largest, the nose cone, was found burrowed in a 20-foot-deep hole in a forest not far from the Texas-Louisiana border. It will be dug out today. Authorities say they've also found some computer components that are believed to have been part of the shuttle's control center. Twisted chunks of metal and other materials fell into a debris field that starts in a rural part of eastern Texas and ends in a suburb of New Orleans. No debris field from any aircraft crash has stretched this far. This is only one of the challenges facing forensic engineers looking for clues. NPR's John Nielsen reports.
Peter Goltz, a former director of the National Transportation Safety Board, oversaw the effort to find and reassemble the wreckage of TWA Flight 800 in 1996. That's the plane that fell into the Atlantic off New York after a center wing tank blew up. By some accounts, this was the most expensive and complicated forensic exercise of its kind in history. But this will soon change. According to Goltz, the effort to reconstruct what happened to the Columbia is certain to dwarf all previous exercises in terms of its cost and its complexity for reasons that are partly obvious. This is a catastrophe that involved a craft that broke apart in the upper reaches of the atmosphere while moving fast enough to cross North America in less than 20 minutes.
It's coming down, say, at 200,000 plus feet at Mach 18. You're going to lose a number of pieces, may have been incinerated at that speed. And pieces will have fallen in out-of-the-way rural areas. They can fall into bodies of water. This is going to be a very long-term search operation.
Goltz adds that when airplanes crash, the wreckage is almost always spread across a debris field in a more or less orderly fashion. That's why the crucial pieces, usually the ones that fall off first, are found together at the front end of the field. Goltz says because of the speed and altitude involved this time, the wreckage of the shuttle catastrophe will not have spread out in this way.
You have certain aerodynamic forces, the wind forces at altitude that are going to carry these pieces. The traditional rule of thumb for looking for the first pieces off will simply not apply in this case.
So some pieces fall and some pieces glide, and the old rule just doesn't apply.
Exactly. This is going to be extraordinarily challenging.
But it's not impossible. Goltz says it's likely that every piece of shuttle wreckage will turn out to have at least part of an ID number on it, just as airplane pieces do. When engineers study the aerodynamics of particular pieces, they'll be able to figure out what part fell off first. Possible scenarios can be tested using computer models to see what sequences of events would produce that 100-mile-plus debris field. Other experts add that even the smallest and most blackened scraps can prove useful to investigators once they get them into the laboratory. Lee Dickinson, director of a firm called Exponent Failure Analysis, says many of these fragments bear what he calls witness marks.
Did something break? Did it break in what we call a fracture, an overload fracture? Was it just too much? Was the weight on it, was the load on it too much for greater than its design capacity? So did it break in tension? Did it break in compression? If it did break, what did the fracture surface look like? Was there something going on that could give you an indication that over time this has been bending back and forth and basically wore itself out? That's what is known as fatigue. Those types of things can be examined under microscopes and the like.
Dickinson says there is one advantage the shuttle investigators have. They don't have to wait for someone to find the so-called flight data recorder, or black box, that carries crucial information on commercial plane flights. Every detail of a shuttle's flight is beamed back as it happens and stored on computers at Mission Control. NASA engineers have been combing through those records of the Columbia's last minutes since Saturday. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.